Well, I'll tell you, it's a blessing to know Jesus loves you, amen. When you've been loved by Jesus, you've been loved. You can't be loved any better than by the Lord Jesus. What a blessing. 1 Corinthians 13 is where we are tonight. As we continue with part two of this morning's message, though this is actually a whole nother message, but I'm calling it part two because it is the same title, When I Was a Child, and we're still talking about that. When I was a child, 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Father, I pray you bless the preaching tonight. We do thank you for everyone who's here. We thank you for mothers and Mother's Day and what a good day it's been, and I trust it has been for everyone. I do pray that you'll use the message now to challenge us and speak to our hearts and help us to realize that there are many good things about being a child as a Christian and many good things that we looked at this morning, and yet you want us to put away childish things. And so help us to grow, help us to be what you want us to be, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning I talked about when I was a child, and I talked about what I would call some positive things, some things Jesus made it very clear when he talked about the little children. He said, suffer the children. In other words, let them come to me. He wanted to be able to minister to them, and he laid his hands on their head, and he blessed them. And then he said, of such is the kingdom of heaven. And so we realize there are some childlike traits we talked about this morning that we must have to be saved and really to grow in the Lord. Number one was a childlike failure. We need to have that. Childlike failure, in other words, we need to realize that we fail. We need to realize we're sinners. We need to realize that we are not perfect. And a child, often, once they've got it, they know that they blew it. And then number two is a childlike fear. And that is, of course, when mom and dad said, all right, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. And I remember growing up with dad and mom having the red paddle. And there was a fear there. I was terrified. Now, it didn't always stop me, but I guarantee there were many times it stopped me. And that childlike fear, of course, will lead you to Jesus Christ. If you realize you failed and you deserve punishment in hell, and then you realize, of course, that punishment in hell is going to happen if you don't do something about it. That fear of hell, that has saved many people. That's how I was saved. I was afraid of going to hell. How many of you were saved because you were afraid to go to hell? All right, some were saved just as they found out the goodness of God. The Bible says will lead some to repentance, and some were saved that way, but many, we heard a message about hell. That's why we need to keep preaching about hell. That's why we need to keep telling people as soul winners about hell and not be afraid to tell the truth. There is a hell. There is punishment. Obviously, there is a punishment in reference to Christians. It's called chastening. And there needs to be a fear. As Christians, we need to realize that whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And I do want to remind you, with God, it's not just a time out. It's chastening. It is a punishment. It is very difficult things that happen because God wants us to be on the right path. We are never, never doing good. We're never on our way to blessing when we're on the wrong path. Amen. And so we need God many times to chasten us to get us on the right path. So we talked about a childlike fear, childlike faith, childlike failure, childlike fear, and then last a childlike faith, and how we a child is so trusting and how they just believe. And as a parent, you know, often that child will just believe what their parents say. It's why parents, you need to tell them the truth. Amen. That's because they just trust you. They believe you. And oh, folks, how we must believe the Lord. We need to trust him. We need to believe him. And that childlike faith is how I called upon Jesus to save me. It was a faith that I'd never seen God. I still haven't seen God. I didn't hear a voice from heaven. I saw it in his book called the Bible, where he said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it said, he shall be saved. And I knew, as a lost sinner, I knew that if I did what God said, he would do what he said. He would save me. And that childlike faith. So again, those things, those traits, when I was a child, thank God that as far as most of us here, we had that. We realized we were sinners. We realized we deserved punishment. But we realized that Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. And by faith, we called upon him to save us. And of course, those things should maintain a place in all of our lives where we continue to feel bad about sin, where we continue to fear the chastisement of God, and where we continue to trust God and have that kind of faith. Some of us, you know, honestly, we become too dignified and too biblically right for our own good. Sometimes you just need to come back to being a child. You have not because you ask not. What's a child do as well as anything? Ask. You know, over and over and over again, they'll ask. They're not afraid. You know, can I have this? Can I have that? I mean, I watch them at the store, and little kid, can I have that, Dad? Can I have that? Can I have one of those? Can I have one of those? I mean, it's like, you know, they think their parents are made out of money, and they just ask and ask and ask. Daddy, can I have a pony? You know, I mean, yeah, sure, in the yard out there. And I mean, you know, and they're just not, it's just a child. But I'm afraid, you know, we kind of laugh about that. When's the last time you asked God for something? How about when's the last time you asked God for something big? Well, it takes that childlike faith. So he said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. I put away. What's he saying? He's saying, I grew up. I grew up. I got rid of some childish things that needed to change in my life as I grew in the Lord. He's talking about, and as the Bible has said, you must be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus. Well, he starts off as a little baby. And at the age of 17, I started off as a little baby. Amen. And oh, little babies are so cute, aren't they? Little babies are so cute. Now, you know, we have the cutest kids. We've always had the cutest kids. And then they grow up, you know. And, no, they're still cute. But we, you know, what a cute, but I'll be honest with you, somebody who's 25 years old, who's got their thumb in their mouth, that's not so cute, right? Somebody who's 26 years old and they have a bottle in their mouth, that's not so cute. I'm talking about a baby bottle, right? You know, Diet Coke. Anyway, but so we need to put away childish things. And it's always fun to watch a child. We were watching some kids today, a little baby and two little babies sitting in high chairs in the restaurant. And they one was at one table, one was the other, and they caught eyes and they started going, and the other one, and I mean, they're just having a wonderful time. I don't know if they knew what they were saying. But there comes, and that's so cute. Goo goo gaga. I mean, it's so cute, unless it's somebody in their 40s. That's not so cute. And so we recognize as Christians, we need to grow up. There has to be a time where we put away childish things. I mentioned this morning, you know, it seems like in our garage and within our property, we still have everything our kids ever played with. And I think that's because their mother wants to keep it all till they're old enough to have it. But I mean, we have so many things. We have Littlest Pet Shop. Remember that? Amen. I heard several men say, yeah. I'm not sure that's a man's thing. But at least I don't remember ever playing with it. But, you know, dollhouses and dolls and army things and guns. And I mean, toy guns. Be careful here. And we have all those guys. Why is it? Well, it's because our children, they got older and they put away those childish things. They don't play with those things anymore. Let me give you some verses by way of introduction. 2 Peter 2, verse 2, and you know this. This is a very, very familiar passage of Scripture, and 2 Peter 2 and verse 2. We'll just look at a couple of verses in 2 Peter 2. I gave you the wrong verse. It's all good, but I it's the wrong. Now, wait a minute. Let me find it. 2 Peter. Wait a minute. Maybe it's 1 Peter. I wrote down a whole bunch of verses here. 1 Peter 2, 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. The milk of the word, the Bible, that's so we can grow. It's milk. By the way, later on, it's called meat. When you've grown some, just like a child, a little baby, they have no teeth. Amen. And then you get old and you lose your teeth. But then you know, you can't, you have to drink milk, right? And that little baby has to suck on a bottle and drink milk. But then they start to learn how to eat, and they get teeth, and then they can eat meat. Well, as a Christian, we have to grow. We have to grow where we can eat the meat of the Word of God. You say, you know, I understand the plan of salvation. Wonderful, that's great. And I've been saved for 40 years, and that's all I know. That's not so great, because you're still sucking on a bottle at 40 years as a Christian, you know? We need to grow in the things of God. Chapter 3 in verse 18 of 1 Peter, 1 Peter 3, 18, the Bible says, for Christ also, that is, okay, now that's where we're in 2 Peter. See, I knew I had a reason. 2 Peter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So important that we grow. Look at our example in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. The Lord Jesus is a great, great example as he grew and had to grow up. Notice what it says in Luke 2 and verse 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Then verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And we see growing. We know that's normal. We know that's natural. We know that when a little baby is born, they're so cute as a little baby, but we expect them to do. We expect them to eventually, you know, start crawling. We expect them to eventually stand up. I mean, we've got now we have our phones, you know, used to be our video cameras, used to be our Super 8, whatever those things are called, cameras. I don't know. Anyway, we used to have, you know, and we have it aimed at them. And every time we thought they were going to walk, we're there. You know, back, remember the old days with the Super 8, and you had the big old light stick on there, and you had lights, and you know, little Poindexter starts to get up, and you turn it on. You know, and the whole room's filled with light. And he doesn't walk, right? And then you turn it off. And the lights take a long time to cool off, you know? And sure enough, he starts to do it again. And blink, you know? And it's always the wife saying, honey, how do you get the camera? Quick, quick. He's going to do it. He's, you know, and we're watching all that. And that is so cute. And then he finally walks. Then we're excited about him running. And then we're excited about them, you know, taking all these different steps and all these different things. And that's how God is about us. He wants us to grow. He wants us, okay, when I was a child, but eventually I put away those childish things. I'm going to talk to you about four things tonight, and then we'll be done, that we really need to put away. Number one is childlike attitudes. Childlike attitudes. Hebrews 5 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. Hebrews, the fifth chapter, verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong drink, as strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And we have to put away our childlike attitudes. You know, it is natural to grow, but the childish, they just don't ever grow. The church at Corinth was a childish, carnal group of people. Now, that doesn't mean all of them were, just that's what they were known for, the church at Corinth. I don't know how anybody, it's amazing to me, anytime I see a church nowadays called, Corinthian Baptist Church, I just think, are you trying to tell us something? Because over and over in the book of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, you're carnal. You're carnal. You're children. You're babies. Grow up. Right? Childish folks don't ever learn. They just keep a childlike attitude. They just never, they never outgrow. For example, they never outgrow griping. Yeah, it's a childlike attitude. Children can be some of the biggest gripers. Now, again, you say, well, I know some adults. Well, I know, but it is kind of a normal thing. A child will just gripe, and they're not afraid to say it. You know, it's too hot. I'm too hot. I'm hungry. Are we there yet? When are we going to get there? Why aren't we there? I mean, come on, you just pulled out the driveway. Are we there? You know, and you're going across country. Well, it doesn't usually work out well. And just a big baby. But it's amazing how we see Christians that have been saved for years that gripe and complain about everything. You know, it's one thing to just get saved and you're a little baby, a little young Christian, and you don't understand everything. And it would seem natural that some things don't make a whole lot of sense to you. You know, I've often said when people get baptized, I've often said it's amazing what we tell people they're getting baptized. All right, go in that room, take off all your clothes, put on this, and get out here, and we're going to dunk you. And it's like, I can understand them looking at us kind of funny, like, what? You're doing what? And you have to kind of explain all that. And I can understand if somebody who's a new Christian might complain a little bit about the water. The other day, we baptized a young lady, and she was one of our bus kids, and she and I went back in the baptistry, and I looked in there, and Dale said, Pastor, there's 3 centipedes in there. And, of course, we just come back from Barbados, and I got centipede on the brain, but they're silverfish here. They're not really centipedes. And so I'm in there trying to get them, you know, I'm trying to hook one and get it out before she comes out. Finally, we gave up, and I just kind of tried to hide them from her, and one's floating right by her. You know, you don't ever want somebody to have come up with a centipede on their forehead. But you know, I understand if somebody would gripe, well, I don't want to do that. I don't like that. I'm not, you know, I can under, but I don't understand a Christian who's been saved, who's grown, who still gripes, who still complains about everything, who's just simply a big baby. I don't get it. We've been saved for a long time. We've learned that our God is taking care of us, and we've learned that we are to accept whatever comes into our lives. We've learned that all things do work together for good. It just doesn't make sense that someone who's been saved for a while would just keep griping and complaining. It's a childlike attitude. It's a fit thrower. You ever see a fit thrower? Oh, man, drives me crazy. It's why I don't like going to the store. You know, because people don't deal with it. Now, you know, I mean, back in the old, I mean, we used to deal with stuff like nowadays. I don't even know. I'm not, you know, talk's easy now. I don't know what I would do nowadays other than, son, when we get home, you're dead meat. I love you. You know, and all the people that are around us, I'm going, isn't he cute? Dave, you're dead. You know, you're going to get paddled when you get home. You just need to know. But I watch kids. Have you ever seen a kid throw himself on the floor and start kicking and screaming and beating on? Isn't that amazing? You say, yeah, you know, that's pretty bad. I watch Christians do that. You know, pretty much throwing a fit over stuff. It's unbelievable. And it's the same. People that have been saved 10 years, come on, you shouldn't be throwing a fit. You shouldn't have that kind of an attitude. It's kind of like the simple person in the book of Proverbs. You know, the simple person who wants all preaching to avoid them, who doesn't want to, nobody get in my turf. Don't get in my space, okay? Leave me alone. You can preach to them, and to them, leave me alone, okay? You start preaching about me, and I'm going to get upset, and it happens. You know, I've been a pastor a long time. I've had the fit throwers who, you know, why are you always preaching on that? I'm not always. I've gotten sermons out before and said, look, here's what I preach here. Well, that's not the way I heard it. I can't help that. I know what I preached on, and besides that, why are you so convicted? You know, people wouldn't be convicted if it didn't hit them. What was it D.L. Moody said? He said you can tell which dog it is when you throw a rock at a pack of dogs. You can tell which one you hit by the one that barks the loudest. Amen. And honestly, you know, the childlike attitude, whining, complaining, throwing a fit, you know. You know, it's interesting. When I was a child, I never minded my sister getting spanked. fact, sometimes I encouraged it. Well, she deserved it. But the truth of the matter is, we get an attitude that I didn't come to church to get beat up. I came to church to get loved. I don't know of anything more loving than to tell you the truth. I don't know of anything more loving than to just preach the word. I've never known anything more loving. I remember my pastor when I was a new Christian, and I was rough as rough could be. I was rougher than anybody in the room tonight. And I mean, we'd sit on a Sunday night, and Sunday night was sheep shearing time. And I mean, he'd yell and scream and holler, and that vein in the corner right here on the side of his head, you could almost count his heartbeats because that vein was popping out there. He's screaming and hollering. Everything he screamed and hollered about was my sin. Every now and then when he missed one of mine, he hit my wife's. And I felt kind of responsible for that because most of her sin, I probably led her to do it. I mean, honestly, it was just... But well, you say, what'd you do? Well, I had two choices. I could have thrown a fit and left, or I could get on the altar and get right with God. Amen. And I decided to put away the childish things and to say, God, I want you to speak to my heart. Don't get tired of God speaking to your heart. Don't get an attitude where God can't tell you no. Well, you ever watch kids, you tell them no? Boy, some of these spoiled rotten kids today, there are some nasty spoiled rotten kids. You know, and you're in a store and I want that. I want a candy bar. And the parent says, no. And it's like, and you can see it coming. It's like, I'm out of here. I cannot handle this explosion that's about to take place. Right? Yeah. You say, well, it's terrible, isn't it? It's worse when it's some adult who says they're saved. You know? Amen. It's a childlike attitude. We just don't like to learn anything. We don't like we don't like to be told no or any of those kinds of things. You know, as a baby Christian, we should be saying, I'm hungry. We don't always like it, and we may gripe about it, but as we grow, we need to thank God for it. Let's not have a childish attitude. Amen. Childish attitude. Number two is childish actions we need to put away. Put away childish actions. What do you mean? Well, I guarantee if you go into the 2 and 3 year old room in the maybe the toddlers, you'll hear one word probably many, many times. Now, not all the time, but you'll probably hear this. It's the word mine. I don't know what it was, the cartoon clip you always use. Mine, mine, mine. The seagull sound, right? Yeah. Mine, mine, mine. Mine, that's perfect. That is such a good, I mean, I have been around groups of people and they might as well be saying, mine, 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 right? Childish actions. They want their own way all the time. And it doesn't matter. I mean, little Throckmorton can be playing with a toy, and if little Cecil over here has their toy, and Throckmorton sees that they're having fun, Throckmorton goes over and grabs Cecil's toy. Mine! Right? It's amazing. It's just, you can kind of count on it. They just want their own way. They'll scream at night or during the day for no reason. Remember when your kids screamed for no reason? I know. You know, sometimes they're hungry. Okay, you just fed them. Sometimes they have to burp. Okay, burp them. Amen. I mean, just let her go. Pat them on the back. Get that over with. All right, you stuck them with a pin. All right, that's not a good idea. But I'm talking about the baby that just in the middle of the night, they just start to scream. What do they want? They want their own way. They want to be held. Well, hold them! Don't. Be careful. Sometimes you can. I mean, if it's storming, if they need something like, but I'm just saying, yeah. Can you imagine a baby saying, right at first, they go, ah, and then, all right, I'll come and take care of it. And the little baby yells, no, Mom, no, you need your sleep, Mom. You go ahead and go back to sleep. I'll take care of it. You say, I would shout hallelujah. You know, it doesn't happen, does it? Why? Because they want their own way. And I'll tell you what, boy, that is the way it is in Christianity when people are immature. The Corinthian church, you know, I am of Paul, I am of Barnabas, I am of Apollos, and this is the way we're going to do it. I read about the Apollon way and the Pauline way and the, you know, this way and that way, and we're doing it that way because that's my way. It's so childish. God says, put it away. Get rid of those childish, childlike actions. Amen. 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 Self-centeredness is satanic. Satan wants us to only think about ourselves. It is now again, it's a natural thing. A little baby is like that. They do think about themselves very, very much. But eventually they get older and they need to start thinking about others. We as Christians, we need to think about others. We need to think about, how can I help these folks? How can I be a blessing to them? How can I, instead of taking care of me, how can we take care of them? It's time for God's people to grow up. And the only way we do that is through the Word of God, the sincere milk of the Word of God. We read the Bible and we grow so we're not so self-centered, wanting our own way. Childlike actions. Here's another childlike action, and that is that children are so apt to quarrel. I mean, they just want to fight. You know, they can't get along with others. Again, you see a little child, and some kids, you know, some are so very passive and everything. But you know, you nursery workers, you know, there's always those kids. They just kind of want to fight. They don't get along, and it usually is over some toy. You know, I want that toy, or it's over mommy who's there, and Wildersmear is sitting on Poindexter's mommy's lap. Oh, that's chaos. I remember Angela, we had some little kids over, and the little girl said, "You're like my daddy," and Angela was right there. And she said, "He's not your daddy, you're my daddy." And it's like, would you chill, kid? You know, quiet. And oh, man, you know, she's, "My daddy," you know. But then they get to fighting with each other. "Well, he's my pastor, and well, he's my dad," and you know, blah, blah. Anyway, you know, it's so childish when we can't get along with each other. And it's always over some childish thing, you know. Somebody says this, you know, a child, "Mom, nobody likes me." And I remember telling my mom, "Mom, nobody likes me." She said, "Well, change." Oh, that's a novel idea. You know, it is a pretty good idea for a Christian. Maybe you need to change. Maybe you need to do some things differently. Maybe you should quit wanting to fight everybody. Amen. They'll know we're Christians by what? Our love one toward another. It has nothing to do with our stained glass. It has nothing to do with our buildings. It has nothing to do with our buses out there. Those are all good things, and they're wonderful things, but they're going to know that we're Christians by our love one toward another. How do we get along with each other? And you know, well, they're sitting in my seat, or they parked in my spot. Actually, I don't know who knows what spots are anybody's. You can't even tell what a spot is out there. But it's like we just, you know, well I'm going to tell on them, and I'm mad about this, and I'm upset about, well, they said this on Facebook. Well, they'd quit being my friend. Well, they, you know. Listen, folks, it's time to put away those kind of things. It's time to stop those things, you know, and you know, being the Christian police where you report on everybody, just be quiet. Amen. It's just trying to stir up strife in people's lives. That is not God's will. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want us fighting with each other. All right, and that's so important. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 2. Look at it. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 2. The Bible says, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife." That, you know, envying gets us in so much trouble. We look at what other people have and, oh, you know, why don't I have this? I don't know. I don't know. Why don't you? The Bible says we need to be content with what we have. You know, so if somebody else has something better, then okay, well, God allowed them to have that then. That's okay. Isn't it okay? Well, you know, I don't know. Why do they have this? Why do they get to do this? Why are they the one? Why this? Why that? I remember we used to, when we did a project remodeling a building one time in Bern, Indiana, there was one fella. We people would work all day and then we worked half the night. And we'd work till midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, remodeling the church. Then we'd get up in the morning, go to our jobs, and then we'd come back in the evening, work till midnight, 1 o'clock. And this was going on for weeks. And this one guy said to me, he said, you know, Pastor, he said, you're spending more time with other church members. I said, you know what? I said, I'm spending more time with other church members working on this building. Come join us. You know, it's not preferring anybody over anybody else. I prefer on carpet pulling celebration, I prefer carpet pullers. That's who I'm going to prefer. I'm going to be with you. Amen. I mean, that's why? Because that's what we're doing, and that is a good thing. But again, it's childish. Well, I didn't get to go pull carpet. You can come. You can come at a different time. We can always pull carpet, amen. But you know, wanting to fight all the time. The Bible says you're yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy, strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Put away childlike attitudes. Put away childlike actions. Number three, put away childlike anger. Oh, yeah. Childlike anger. You know what I'm talking about. A child can get so upset. You know? Anger. Where little things make them so mad. I mean, anger. Where they pout. You ever known any children to pout? Okay, we're going to go get ice cream. Well, I've seen kids. It's just, I'll show you. It's kind of like the kid that says, I'm going to hold my breath. All right, go ahead. And you just kind of watch them like, okay, are you done being stupid yet? Or what? You know? I mean, how many, you know, and it's just, so again, but that's how we get sometimes. When we haven't grown up. You know, just get upset over so many things. Inferiority complex. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I guess I'll just go eat worms, you know. Grow up, people. See, we just have to grow up. People are going to hell. We need to grow up. We need to be what God wants us to be. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? We are not, you can't please everybody. You have to learn how to control your anger. And that childlike anger, boy, I'll tell you, I've seen people blow up over things. It's like you watch and you think, what in the world has happened to you? Why are you so? I see husbands and wives. It amazed me. I'll see somebody, they're standing up here and they're pledging their lives to one another in marriage, and they're so happy and they're so thrilled. And we talk in counseling, and I mean, it's all, we're just so happy. And I talked about, you know, when there's problems, she'll say, there won't be any problems because he is so wonderful. And, she's just the most wonderful woman in the world. And it's like, and I tried to warn him. And now look, you got to understand it isn't always going to be like that. You better be careful. And I mean, I've seen people. I told you about the one lady. She grabbed her purse and she slung that thing at him and hit him upside the head. And it was like, I'm talking about Christian people. It's like, what in the world? Grow up, people. And that's what it is. It's a matter of growing up, is what it is. Childlike attitudes, childlike actions, childlike anger, and then the last thing is childlike activities. Boy, we have got to get this settled. Childlike activities. You know, a couple thoughts under this. One is a child has to be entertained. You know, look in their little crib things and all. We've got all kinds of doodads for them to play with now. They have to be entertained, right? We have little noisemaker things. We have push a button and a little spinner spins, and we have push a button, a little noise thing. and we have little spinners here and doodads here and boppers there and flickerjig things here and little spinnies there, and they can blow, they can kick, they can hit, they can punch, they can, I mean, there's just all kinds of things. They have to be entertained. It's exciting. And I'll go a little longer so you don't get wet. But they have to be entertained. A little child has to be entertained. I watch people, you know, especially people that are new to church, and they'll have their kids come to church, and it's like they can't sit and listen because they're children. Come on, preacher. They're children. They can't listen to preaching. Right? And I had when we started our church, we had a couple come, and I can still see they sat right there. And the child had his cars out, and he's playing with his cars on the floor, and I'm trying to preach, and all of a sudden I hear, "Run! Run!" And I'm thinking, okay, how that doesn't work into the message. They have to be entertained. We've got iPads, we've got iPhones, we've got tablet this, and I'm heading for trouble, aren't I? I'm running out of different things. We've got all those guys. They've got to be entertained. I remember Angela. She had to have, we had a Gigapet. Remember Gigapets? And she had to be entertained. She oh, I could push this button, and I feed Fido. And when I push that button, and pretty soon a little beep, beep, beep goes off, Fido has to go to sleep. And she'd push another button. Fido got to go to sleep. And if she missed pushing her little button, eventually Fido died. I don't know how many Fidos died. She didn't take care of it. They have to be entertained. It is a sign that we're childish when we can't come to church and just listen to the preaching and the Word of God, where we have to be entertained. Do you know that most churches today have gone totally away from just preaching the Word of God? It is a totally new entertainment industry now, multi-million dollar entertainment industry called Christianity. Because God's people couldn't sit and listen to preaching. I read just a little bit of your Sunday school promotion for my wife's class, and how the people are hungry for the Word of God. On the mission field, North Korea, wasn't it? And they're hungry for the Word of God. They want to grow. They're excited. And we've got Christians today that, if it goes over 30 minutes, it's like, oh. I had a lady one time, I can still see her in Bern, down in the base of a library, and I was preaching long, and I've never really preached long. I have preached a couple of times a little bit longer than usual, but most of the time I don't preach real long. But it started like this toward the end of the message. It started like this. She's sitting right in the middle, and she went like that. I added a point to the message. By the way, that's how I've learned how to alliterate on the fly. Amen? I added a point to the message. I mean, it went another 5 minutes, and she goes, "Hum!" I added another point. Now, when I was young, I'm not saying that's right. I'm not trying to tell you young guys to do that. I'm just saying I did. That was probably childish, and I've gotten over that. So thank you. But then, Brother Tim, it went another 5 minutes, and I just added a point, Tim, because you did that. It goes another 5 minutes, and this time she goes like that. I said, "I know what time it is." And I probably shouldn't have done that. But when you can't, you've got to be entertained. Come on, we got to have a praise team up here. We got to bring up some pretty girls. Well, bring up fat, bald-headed guys. Amen. As long as they preach the truth, that ought to be what we want. That's why we come to church. We didn't come to be entertained. We come for God to work in our hearts and our lives. And it's time that we grow up, and we don't have to be entertained all the time. That's why, some folks, the music just not. Well, have you ever really thought about the words while the music's being sung? Have you ever just really realized that that's kind of what it's all about, is the words? Amen. I know you may not feel good. It may not make you want to dance with your wife down the aisle. But it isn't supposed to. It's supposed to speak to your heart. And cause us to want to please God. Amen. childlike activities, they have to be entertained. We have got to get away from that stuff. And I know it's nowadays, that's what most of the churches are. They're just entertainment. That's all it is. And my friend, if that's what you want, then you need to grow up and say, you know, I need the Word of God. I need preaching. And then along with that, as far as childlike activities, this is my last thing, is once they're being entertained, they play while great things are happening. Isn't that a child? They're playing while great things are happening. They're just playing away, you know. I was thinking about, we talked to some folks that were with us when we started our church, and I was just remembering those days, and our kids were all friends, and they were real little, and I got a good story to tell about David someday. But one of the families that was there when we first started, we'd be sitting in there, we're having a meeting, and we're talking about the finances of the church and what we're going to do, and the kids are in the other room playing. They don't have any idea. We're talking about crucial, critical, great, important things that are going on, and they're in there playing. You know, that's a child. Kids, so many great things have happened, so many decisions being made, so many at the altar, so many lives being changed. And what are the kids doing over in the 2 and 3 year old room? They're just playing. It's what they're supposed to do, right? What are they doing there in the toddler? Well, they're just playing. They don't have any clue. They're just playing along. You know what's sad? It's sad that so many Christians are because they're childish, they're playing while great things are going on. They're just playing. Look at John 20, verse 24. John chapter 20, verse 24. I'm just about done so I can dismiss you into the rain. John 20, verse 24, it says, "But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with him when Jesus came." Now, I'm going to be honest with you, folks. We always, whenever you hear the word Thomas, what's the first thing you think of? Doubting. Doubting Thomas. That's sad because you know what? Thomas did some great things for God. Years ago, I did a study on the apostles and I talked about Thomas. And Thomas did some great things. Isn't it sad that all we think of, and I'm the same way, we just think doubting Thomas. But why did Thomas doubt? You know why? Because he was out playing while great things were going on. It just wasn't important enough to assemble with his people that he was supposed to be with, and he missed out on Jesus coming the first time. And he said, "Well, I didn't see it. I don't believe it." Well, he ended up believing it, and praise God. But, you know, how many people miss out because they're out playing while great things are going on? I think about folks that are playing church. You ever watch kids play church? It's kind of fun. We used to have kids, they played soul winning. And literally, they'd go in the hallway of their house and they'd go from bedroom to bedroom, you know, knock on the doors and somebody'd come in, "Hello?" And they'd say, "Oh, we're from Faith Baptist Church, or we're from Indian Hills Baptist Church, we're from Berean Baptist Church, and we're out inviting people to church. Are you saved?" I've watched them lead little stuffed animals to the Lord. I've seen them lead brothers and sisters to the Lord. They've led me to the Lord. And aren't you glad? Pastor saved, amen. But it's fun to watch a child play church. It's not so fun to watch adults play church because it's real. You don't have to play church. It's real. What we're doing is real. What we're doing is for eternity. What we're doing is for you to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." It's time to get serious. People out there are going to hell, and we need to grow up where we are serious about what we're doing. It isn't a game. We're going to go to church and see how much fun we can have. You know, I get frustrated when people, what are we going to do? What are we going to do for the youth activity? Why? What kind of fun are we? Is it something I like to do? You know what? If your church is doing it, you just do it. That's how it ought to be. Parents, if your church is doing it, you just do it. If the teen group is going to go somewhere, you just go. If Brother Varnum says, "Hey, we're going to go do this," then you just make sure you're there doing it.
"I want to have fun. What are we going to do? We want to have fun. Where's the fun?"
It's time to understand that you just do it and let God work. in your life. It is time to grow up. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child. But then as I got, I started to put away all those childish things. And I put away the attitudes that I had as a child. I put away my actions of a child. I put away my anger of a child. And I put away my activities of a child. And now I just want to please God. And I hope that would be our attitude tonight as we think again about when I was a child. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head's bowed.